Hey, I feel encouraged this morning. I feel encouraged this morning. I was thinking, you know how encouraging it is when they were talking about the Harvest Festival, when Steve mentioned it, he said, I don't know, is it Friday? And people all said, Saturday. It's Saturday. How encouraging that is, that you're aware of that. You know, I know it sounds like a small thing, but it really is an encouragement. And also, I'm encouraged to think about the Operation Christmas Child boxes. Can you imagine with me? Just imagine with me. Lining those boxes up from stairway to stairway, having them fill all the way up deep to the tip of the stairway, and imagine, if you will, that there's so many boxes that we have to push these stairs to the side. Would that not be cool? Would that not be cool? So anyway, I just had to share that with y'all. I'm excited. Hey, can we open in a word of prayer before we talk a little bit this morning? Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we thank you and we praise you. Father, as I think on the words of that last hymn, Jesus, Jesus, how I love you. How we've proved you o'er and o'er. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to love you more. Father God, we pray that as we spend time in your word, we pray, Father God, that as we rejoice in this time of baptisms, Father God, we pray that as we live our lives in the world, we pray that we will be people who sing your praises. We will be people who exude the love of Jesus. And we pray, Father God, that we will do this and it will bring you worship. So we entrust ourselves to you, and we pray that your spirit would be present today as we spend some time in the Word or in various parts of the Word. And Father, we pray that you would use it to magnify yourself. What an awesome God you are. What an awesome God we serve. And we come to you with thanksgiving, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, good morning again. You know, today we are blessed. We are absolutely blessed to share in a special time of worship and praise. Now, to be totally clear, anytime we are able to gather in the precious name of Jesus Christ, that is a gift. And that is a wonderful, wonderful opportunity and privilege. Because there are many places throughout the world that they cannot gather as we do. Many places in the world where to gather together would mean political arrest or trial or persecution of some kind. So when we gather in his name, we're privileged. But today is made all the more special because today we're going to have the opportunity to hear the testimonies of two men who have professed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and we are going to be witnesses to their baptism. Now, as Mark and Eric are baptized this morning, we want to make sure that we understand as a church family that this act of baptism, it doesn't bestow new life upon them. It doesn't bestow new life on anyone who is baptized. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, that it is by grace you are saved, and this not of yourselves. And that we're also told in Paul's letter to Titus that it says, save us. He saves us not because of righteousness, the righteous things we do, but because of his mercy. So salvation isn't granted through participation in baptism or some other ceremony or any work of man. Salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus, and it is a great and precious gift of God. And being baptized doesn't authenticate our salvation. You can be baptized and not be a believer. You could easily just decide, I want to go through some ceremony to somehow impress God. But that wouldn't authenticate our faith, because the only way that our faith is authenticated is by another act of God. You see, when Mark and Eric, when they heard the word of truth, when they heard the gospel message preached, and they believed, we're told in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, that they were sealed with the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit in them that seals them and marks them and provides them the guarantee that they belong to Jesus. And it's the Holy Spirit's presence demonstrated in their being transformed in the image of God by growing in love and joy, peace and patience and kindness and in goodness, faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, It's these things that keep growing in them that authenticate the presence of the Spirit, because we would not grow spiritually in those ways if it wasn't for the fact that the Spirit was present in our lives. So baptism wasn't meant to confer grace upon Mark or Eric. It doesn't save them. And it wasn't meant to authenticate their salvation. Baptism is given to us to physically symbolize the spiritual reality of the new life that we have, that these men have, and that has been given to them when they confess their faith in the life, and death, resurrection, and person of Jesus Christ. So what can we say this morning about baptism? Well, first we can say that baptism serves as a picture, if you will, of our being cleansed from sin. Now, when I was a junior higher, I got the opportunity to work with another kid to go clean out an old movie theater in New Paltz. It was an old theater that had been there for years, and it sat above, I don't know if you're familiar with New Paltz, but it sat above a restaurant called Barnaby's Loaf and Tankard. Some of you know about that? Anyway, so Barnaby's Loaf and Tankard, upstairs was this theater. And we were asked to go in and clean it all out. Well, I got to tell you, this theater was like something out of an old horror movie. Okay, so here I am, all of probably 12 or 13, and I remember going in there, and it's dusty, and it's grimy, and it's got old chairs, and it's got junk. It's got the cobwebs in the ceiling kind of hung low, like the old Rosendale Theater. You know, it kind of hangs there, and you're not really sure you want to sit in the middle, because you're pretty sure it's all going to collapse on you halfway through the movie. Anyway, so that's what it kind of looked like. And we were able to clean that place up, kind of. But I think we did it through an act of transference. See, we transferred the dirt and the grime to our bodies. See, you all watch Peanuts, you know, and you picture, it was a pig pen, right? Pig pen, when he walks around, he's got that little cloud. That's what we looked like, I'm pretty sure. And the guy who asked us to clean out this theater, he owned Barnaby's. And he wasn't very happy with having us sit in the restaurant to get a cup of water, because we looked a mess. You see, some of that dirt and grime from that old theater, it had found its way onto us, and it marked us. It marked us. In Titus chapter 3, verse 5, it says this: He, God, saves us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. Washing of rebirth and renewal of the Holy Spirit. The scripture makes it pretty clear, folks, that our condition before God is deplorable. Absolutely deplorable. Romans 3:23 says it this way: All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20 says it this way: No one on earth, no one is righteous. Now that describes a pretty tough picture. We're all a sinful mess. We are stained and marked by our sin, and because it says in Romans 3:23 that the wages of sin is death, did you catch that? The wages of sin is death. We find ourselves separated from a holy, righteous God who demands righteousness and holiness and blamelessness from us. And so we stand liable to his judgment. And we stand liable to his wrath. That's very bad news. But there's real good news. The scripture says that even though we are stained, even though we are marked by sin, the scripture says in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his great love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Picture that. Not when we cleaned ourselves up, couldn't do it. Not when we somehow did enough good or participated in a ceremony. No, he did it when we were at our very worst. He did it when we were at our very worst. And through Christ's death on the cross, Jesus paid the penalty of our sin. And the scripture says when we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we are saved. His righteousness is transferred to us. It's imputed to us. His goodness, His grace are all laid upon those who could never have earned it. We are saved through our confession of faith, and we are made clean. Like it says in Isaiah 1:18, "Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be made as white as snow." To go from filthy to clean. So when Mark and Eric step into the water of baptismal, they will be participants in a very profound picture of the cleansing work that God has already done in them through Christ Jesus when they responded in faith to the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you want to be physically clean, you take a bath. If you want to be spiritually clean, then you receive Christ. Now, when I was dating Karen, it became apparent to me, given her New England roots and my great desire to want to impress her family, that it would be prudent to lay aside my childhood allegiance to the Cincinnati Reds and to declare myself unabashedly a Red Sox fan. I knew there is a believer. Testify, Hans. Okay. Now, when I chose to identify myself with the Red Sox, I stopped paying attention to the Reds, Johnny Bench, Pete Rose. I went to Fenway and made my pilgrimage there. And I followed the team as they made their way through the season. And I even got myself a jersey. Now, this may really call into question my judgment for many of you. So I'm going to put that jersey on right there. And this way, I announced my affiliation with the Red Sox. Can't hit a ball for the life of me. But I feel very much a Red Sox when I wear this. But I have to tell you, it hasn't been all rainbows and butterflies since becoming a Red Sox fan. A number of years ago, I was in my office at the old building. And out the old building, there was a fellowship hall downstairs, and my office sat right off the fellowship hall. And this gal wandered in. And so she wandered into my office, and I wasn't expecting anyone, and I said, "Oh, how are you?" And I had Red Sox memorabilia up on the wall. And I kid you not, she looked and she went, "Ugh, you're a Red Sox fan?" Needless to say, the meeting didn't go super well. After that, she had all the information she thought she needed about me because of the fact that I was a Red Sox fan. Kind of like wearing my team jersey, baptism and the start of the life that obedience that it marks, it publicly will identify Mark and Eric with Christ and his people. Galatians 3:27 says it like this, "For all you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ." Clothed yourself with Christ. Having once received Jesus, not only have they been cleaned up on the inside, but they are now called to clothe themselves with Christ. This means that they're going to have to choose to abandon their old team. They're going to have to take off the jersey that they wore that affiliated them with the old team, to take off those old habits of the heart that were about serving the old team. And they're going to have to put on a new team's jersey. We clothe ourselves in Christ when we set our hearts and minds on being made in His image. And let me tell you, folks, to wear the clothing of Christ is a challenge. It's a challenge. It's not easy. We're not called to be fans of Jesus. We're told to give our lives to Him. And we become people who, it says in Hebrews chapter 12, who throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. That's what we're about now. We're going to throw off all that stuff. We're going to lay it aside because that's all about the old team. And one of the first acts that demonstrate our commitment to being clothed in Christ and to be obedient to His commands is to be baptized. Now, we'll note that Jesus Himself was baptized. And let us note that Jesus' disciples were baptized. And let us note that Jesus' disciples baptized. And let us keep in mind that it was Jesus himself who commanded his disciples to baptize as they go and make disciples of all the world. Baptism is clearly an act of great importance in the life of the believer. And every believer should seek to be baptized. And if every believer seeks to be baptized, they'll be acting in obedience. And quite frankly, if a believer doesn't want to be baptized, then the question has to be asked, why? What would keep you from identifying yourself with Christ and his people? And so obedience to God's word, through obedience to God's word, Mark and Eric present themselves this morning to be baptized. Now, like being a Red Sox fan, sometimes being identified with Christ and his people will bring trial into your life. Remember that Jesus, after he's baptized, remember what happened. He was carried into the desert to face trials, all trials. Wasn't easy. And I was reminded of something that my friend Bob Davis once said at a baptism. I won't quote him exactly, but he said this, and I thought it was rather profound. You know, the witness that you make today, Mark and Eric, it's relatively easy. You stand before friends and family, people who, even if they're not friends yet, care for you and would be excited to see that you're making this step. But the truth is, it may come a day when this act of obedience may well be considered by the world an extremely negative one that will mark you as outside the world and its standards. And as the world grows ever darkening, you may find that this is a very, very revolutionary statement you make. A very, very dangerous one, perhaps. I'm reminded of the story that's told about the baptisms that were done in communist Romania. And I'm reminded that each person declared themselves for Christ and came forward to be baptized. The secret police were there, making themselves not so secret. And as each person stepped toward the baptismal and then went into the water, their photo was taken. A record was kept. We want to know who you are. The act of baptism can be an act of subversion because it's opposed to the things of the world. And the scripture says that the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers. They cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. All they see is an assault upon what the world wants. I think we would do well to remember that this declaration brings with it great joy, but it can also bring with it many, many challenges. As these men confirm their lives as Christ followers, and as they set themselves to putting on Christ in obedience and being transformed into his image, they will find increasingly that they are at odds with the ways and wisdom of the world. Pray for these men. Pray for all believers. Now, baptism is also a picture of death and resurrection. As these men enter into the water, and as they're lowered below the surface, they're covered by the water, just as the ground covers the casket. And they are separated from us for a moment. But having once passed under the waters of symbolic death, they are raised again in a picture of the new life that we all have in Christ Jesus. All those who have received Christ have been granted the promise of eternal life. Their physical deaths will not be their end. Their lives are forever secured in Christ Jesus. Now, we tend to think of life as a small little segment that we're promised somehow. We should be promised, 70 or 80 years if we're lucky. We deserve that. But, God doesn't see life that way. God doesn't see it that way, that narrowly. No, God sees it as an infinite line. And he allows us to participate in what he designed life to be. That infinite line forever in his presence. But if we'd like, we can stay stained by sin. And we can rejoice in our 70 to 80 years. I want to live with him forever. I want to be in his presence forever. I don't want anything to get in the way of that. And I trust that's true for you today too. If you're here today and you haven't yet recognized how you stand before God. Dear ones, you are in the narrow window. And if you think that somehow you're going to be able to impress a holy, righteous God with some act of goodness on your part, may I say quite respectfully, you're wrong. You're wrong. You're choosing to live in this narrow window. But Jesus has said, oh no, I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the way and the truth and the life. And he's provided a means for us to be with him, to confess the name of Christ Jesus. Today may be the day you confess the name of Christ Jesus, and I would encourage you to do so. So this morning, we gather to baptize Mark and Eric. And in so doing, we are bearing witness to their declaration that they have confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior. And you and I, we will be bearing witness to their obedience to God's work and word. And you and I, we will bear witness to the truth that in Christ, Mark and Eric have been cleansed of their sins. They are united to Christ in his death and resurrection. And they publicly declare themselves to be followers of Christ, united with his church universal. May we as his people dedicate ourselves to doing that which the Spirit enables us to do, to uphold these two men as they seek to live their lives for Christ. Oh, we have much to rejoice in this morning. Will you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, thank you for this moment. Thank you for these men's declaration. Thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy. Thank you for the cleansing work you do in our lives. Thank you, Father God, for the Holy Spirit that you give us that allows us to continue to be obedient. And Father God, thank you that you have promised us that physical death is not the end, that we are promised eternity with you, forever in your presence. Oh, Father God, what an awesome day it is, and what an awesome God you are. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.